All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, we would like for you to open them to the book of Luke, chapter number 6, verse number 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12. I'll ask you if you would stand with us this morning. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them, and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Father, we pray this morning that you help us to stand and preach your word this morning with power. And I ask, Father, that you would take the people today, and I pray, Father, you would just set their minds this morning and their focus, their attention, their heart, their eyes upon the Word of God. Help us today to be sensitive and receptive to the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be obedient today to your voice. Lord, I realize this morning, Father, that there's a great multitude here this morning. And Lord, I know that you can touch each and every one that's here today. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings. We do thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for the call, the gospel call that you placed upon us to be saved, and the call you placed upon us to stand before the people and preach the word. God, I cannot do it this morning on my own. Lord, I am too spiritually weak. And Lord, this morning I am too physically weak. But God, I know that you are able to quicken me even this morning and help me to stand. And I pray the Holy Spirit would preach through us this morning. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to preach on this thought: Jesus and people. First of all, this morning, in verse number 12, we see Jesus going up into the mountain privately. There's our word, privately. The Bible says that it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Best we can tell from this scripture and anything that would parallel it, that Jesus departed from all the rest of the crowd alone to be with his Father, the Lord God, in prayer. And very privately he was. And there's times when you and I need to get in a place where we can pray alone. I mean in the closet. There's a time where we can get up in the woods somewhere, down by the creek. We can just get alone with God and just seek his face and pray. And you do realize this morning that Jesus is a great example. And when he's praying to God. And God is not the God of the Muslims that they say is Allah, which is the same God as the Christians. That is not so. For our God has told us to love our enemies and to love those that despitefully use us. And their God told them to kill all the Christians, all those who come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't be the same God. Amen. Jesus has pulled apart privately. Now I realize this morning that this morning you feel like you're not very privately being seen this morning because there's so many folks around you. In other words, it might be said that you are here publicly. Oh, but I say that God deals with you privately even though you are in public. And there's times where you can slip up to pray even though it's in public and call on the Lord. And when He hears you, it's just like He's hearing you privately. So we see the Lord, He's pulled aside privately to get some rest. But what He did was, second of all, He pulled aside prayerfully. The Bible says that He prayed all night. He was in prayer all night. Now, a lot of us will talk about our prayer lives and how we like to pray and what a prayer warrior we are. But when was the last time you prayed all night? I'm not talking about when you was up with indigestion, watching TV. You was up all night, but you wasn't in prayer all night. Jesus was in prayer all night. I remember another thing that folks looked at me and thought I was crazy because I came and said we're going to pray 24 hours around the clock at the church. And some people looked at me like, pray 24 hours? What's the use? We can pray anywhere. We can do anything. But there's just something about making a sacrifice and coming down here, and even though we just serve 1 hour at a time and rotate it to the next family, 1 hour at a time, boy, that 1 hour in prayer, it sure did avail very much. Can you imagine Jesus praying all night? Well, sure, He's Jesus, yes, but He's still a man just like you and me. He still has the same temptations. He still has the same flesh like you and I do that troubles Him and wars against Him. Yet He did all this without sin. And He was up all night in prayer. And I say to you that He was under a burden. Now, many of you, there's been a lot come and said during the week, pray about so-and-so, I'm so burdened. Pray about so-and-so, I'm so burdened. But I've also wondered, have I stood up all night to pray for them? To pick up on their burden? And then God revealed to me and said, I wonder if they've been up all night praying about their burden that they spoke to you. I mean, all night long in prayer. Jesus had a burden. And before He ever chose these disciples that He's getting ready to choose here in name, He was up all night in prayer. Somebody said, well, I don't know how in the world He could have called Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot's not necessarily my problem. I wonder how He could have called me and you, who were a bunch of sinners, rascals, low down, and He saw fit to save us when He loved us and gave His life on the cross. My problem's me, not necessarily the Judas Iscariot. So we see that He was prayerful. Before He made a decision, before He made His appointment, His call to those disciples, He was in prayer. Hey, have you spent time to God in prayer about your burden? Have you spent time with God in prayer about your choices, your decisions that need to be made? I dare say we've not been very private and we've not been very prayerful about a lot of things that we say we're concerned with. But Jesus is our example. He was very prayerful. And then we see providentially, He does call these 12 apostles, these 12 disciples. We'll name them again. There is Simon, who He also named Peter. That's one. Andrew, two. James, three. John, four. Philip, five. Bartholomew, six. Matthew, seven. Thomas, eight. James, 9, Simon Zelotes, 10, Judas, the brother of James, 11, and Judas Iscariot, 12. He did call 12 disciples. These disciples would go about and they would follow Him, Jesus, when He came down away from that time privately, away from that time in prayer. He goes and He providentially picks those 12 men. These 12 men will be the men who will follow Him. And these men, for now anyway, Judas is not going to for long. But these other 11 men are going to go out and preach the gospel, and it's going to spread the whole world. In fact, because of their preaching that Jesus gave them power to do and the call to do, you and I are sitting here now. That's been passed down to us, amen. Not some fairy tale, but the facts of the gospel, amen. Providentially, He's made His call to those 12 men. And then we see Him presently. That's our fourth point. We've seen Him privately, prayerfully, providentially. Want us to see Him presently. Now we'll bog down here just a little bit. We see Him presently in verse 17. And He came down with them and stood in the plain. Now, when we read through the book of Luke a few days ago, and Luke tells us about a lot of individuals. In fact, for my wife and I, Luke is actually our favorite of the four Gospels because it names so many individuals, name after name, person after person, telling us more and more about who Jesus is. But in this text, from verses 17 through 19, there are no notable personalities. There are no direct commandments that are given. There is no particular teaching. There is no particular doctrine named out in these three verses. Just a text from verses 17 through 19 that is filled with Jesus and people. just him and them. And I do want to say to you this morning that Jesus is concerned about his people. Now let's take this presently and let's kind of size up the crowd. And the other night at Bible school, we looked when we were getting ready to have the commencement here at the church on Friday night. And we noted that they called all the older group to the choir and some of the younger ones here on the stage area and even the younger ones than that down here in the altar to give them a little bit of room to move about. And I noticed I got up from my seat and I went to the back of the sanctuary and I stood there and looked and I was trying to count them and there was too many to count. There was a whole bunch of them and I noticed that they were from the altar about down here where these men are sitting all the way back almost to the back row and it was from side to side. There wasn't a space open except for the organ and where the piano was that wasn't filled with children. That's how many was here. They were everywhere. And it was wonderful. There was a great multitude of them. And I stood back there and I found Justin Burke and I said, Justin, would you make me a picture this morning of this crowd? Or this evening of this crowd? I'd like to have a video. I didn't see any video cameras here, but I'd like to have a video. But he took a few snapshots for me. And it was great. Have y'all ever seen them old time snapshots? You know, back when y'all was real, real little, where they was all done in black and white. Y'all remember some of them? And you look at them, and you don't even know who's in the picture. You'll even ask your parents. They'll go over and say, get their eyeglasses and start looking. Oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. Well, where am I? Well, you're just a baby. You're being held right there. Y'all, listen, y'all are looking at me laughing this morning. But you know it's true. It was a snapshot. Let me tell you what, the other night we got a snapshot of those little youngins. And right here, what God dealt with me on verse 17 through 19, presently, we don't see a video of all these things, but Luke kind of gives us a snapshot of all these things that are taking place. And the first thing we notice is Jesus has come down from the mountain, come down from where He's called His disciples, and the Bible says He stood in the plain. And look who He's... And here, let's just say He's standing right here. And who's He standing with? The Bible says that He came down with them and stood in the plain. Now let's... We've already sized up the crowd. The Bible says in verse 17, it's a great multitude. He said, again in verse 19, it is a multitude. Every time Luke, I've seen it in chapter 9, when he records the word multitude, it's symbolic of over 5,000 men, and not counting the women and children. There was a multitude that was with Jesus. That's sizing up the crowd. Now let's sort out the crowd. Who's standing with Him? Well, evidently those disciples are closest to Him as He comes down off the mountain. You know what church is about? Church is about getting close with Jesus. And somebody stopped me this week and said, Preacher, my children want to have their picture made with you. I was honored. I was delighted. Can you imagine that? Here comes those disciples, down with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Luke gets ready to take his snapshot there, there they stand with Him. Boy, if I was ever going to have my picture made with somebody, I wouldn't want to have it made with me, the pastor. I would want my picture to be made with Jesus. That's who I want to be identified with. In fact, glory hallelujah, because of the shed blood of Calvary, when I have my snapshot took with Him, it's a family portrait. Been a lot of times along the way I've wondered where I was in the portrait. But I'm telling you what, He's always had me. Every step of the way. Hallelujah. Now I want you to see church is about getting close to Jesus, about getting near to Him. And these disciples better stay close to Him because soon they're going to have the burden of going out and preaching the gospel to the ends of the world. And church, I want to challenge you. You work in a lot of various places and you're going to go through sundry places and diverse places and you're going to carry burdens. There's going to be sickness. There's going to come hardships. You're not always going to be able to run and say, Preacher, help me. You know what you've got to be near Jesus that when the trial and the hardship comes, you can stand as a testimony for Him. And where does that come from? It comes from being close to Jesus. Being faithful to the Lord. Jesus is standing with them and they are standing with Jesus. Now, it appears from this portrait that the first group that flocks around Jesus are those disciples getting up close to Him. I wonder, are you a disciple of Christ?
Well, I'm not one of them 12 apostles, but I tell you what, as a Bible believer, as a person that's born again, you ought to want to snuggle up close to Jesus. Get in on some things. So we see that first group, those disciples, that He is with them. And second of all, there's another group. The Bible says the company of disciples. Company. That means different levels of faith. It means that they are learning of Jesus. It is an assortment of people that have gathered together that believe on His name. There's just a company now of disciples that began to enclose around Him and that begin to stand there. You know what, this morning, you may not have some position, you may not necessarily be a deacon or a preacher, and you may feel like that you can't get as close as some of them can. I want to say to you, you're wrong this morning about that. But you may feel that way. But even the company of believers can gather around Him. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. So they begin to gather around Him, amen. One by one, those that believed in His name. And then it goes on thirdly and gives another group of people that gathers. It says, and a great multitude of people. A great multitude of people. Just common, ordinary, everyday people. Probably even some people that come to be around Him that wasn't even saved. I mean, now we see the picture, the snapshot, got Jesus in the middle, some disciples, a great company of disciples, and then a multitude of just people. Some that, you might say that in this picture, there's the wheat and the tares. Yep. They're all together there with Jesus. And the Bible says, why have they come? He's come. They've come to hear Him. Now let me say this. I believe poor people's here. And I believe rich people's here. I believe educated people's here. And uneducated people's here. There's just people coming from everywhere. And some of you would have looked around and said, well, if Jesus knew who that was back there, He wouldn't have had His picture made with them. Hey, Jesus does not discriminate like some of you do. You discriminate on what people wear, how they smell, how they talk. I mean, you discriminate that way. But Jesus never, ever discriminates. He come to seek and to save all that were lost. Now we've sized up the crowd as a multitude bigger than this church would have held. And we've sorted out the crowd, you know, necessarily who they are. But I wonder, next of all, where are they from? Where are these people from? Where are you from? I'm from Hendersonville. Where are you from? Avery County, amen. Anybody from Mitchell County here? Might be somebody from McDowell County. Might be somebody out of Madison County. And there might be somebody even out of state. You know, people's from somewhere. Amen. Let's see where they're from, this great multitude of people that's gathered in around Jesus. The Bible says they're from all Judea. I studied that out. Judea would be the northern tribe. But when it says the word all, it means the northern and the southern areas of Israel. They've just been a bunch from the north. Amen. The Yankees can be around Jesus. And the South, the Southerners can be around Jesus. Now I know some of y'all want to discriminate against the Yankees and some want to discriminate against the South. But I say to you, Jesus is big enough and loves them enough to save them all. Not only did they come from all Judea, the North and the South, but the Bible says they came from Jerusalem, which is the heart. That's where the religious elite, there might have been a Pharisee or two in that crowd. That's where the religious elite are. You know, those that are influential, those that are educated, they've come to be around Jesus to hear Him. And the Bible says also, they've come from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. Yes, people from Myrtle Beach can be saved. You go down there and look around and say, Lord God, who could be saved here? But God's big enough to save the prostitute off the street. And the drug dealer and pusher down there. Hey, God can save them in Las Vegas, Nevada. God can save them in places you'd snub your nose at and say you're too good for, too highfalutin and too religiously influential. But I want to tell you what, Jesus died for sinners. You may sit this morning and say, preacher, I've been too bad, or I've been too wicked, or preacher, I'm too smart for that stuff. Let me tell you something. There's not one of you that's going to go to heaven and enter through the gates of that city without He comes through the shed blood of Calvary's flow that Jesus gave for you and I. They're going to come from the north and the south and the center and even the east and the west, which is the sea coast, amen. They've all come. Why? To hear Him. Now, some of you may look around and say, boy, I tell you what, them prostitutes and drug pushers, I wouldn't accept them. Glory to God, I hope they'll come to church here. Amen. Let them come. What? Let them come. We'll preach Jesus to them.
Amen.
I hope, listen, Jesus will accept them all. Yeah. I hope they get your parking place.
Right.
I hope they get your seat on your pew. I hope they get your little pillow that you got leaned up there that Calvin cleans over every week. Yeah, I said that. I hope they get your pillow. Boy, you had a trouble with that, didn't you? Bless God, I'll go get me one right now. We'll have a fight. I want to tell you what. I hope they get your pillow. I hope they get your tithing envelope so that you have to go ask somebody to get you another one.
Bless you, Lord.
Listen, we need to get off our high horse around here and say that Jesus, we know He came to seek and to save all that was lost, but we think there's just some that's just too wicked and we wouldn't want them here at Bethel. Let me tell you what, y'all. I'll never forget that little lady went down to the big time First Baptist Church, had a $1 million pipe organ in it. She come down there with a gunny sack dress, amen. Wasn't nothing but burlap. God said, I want you to leave this little old poor church you've been going to and I want you to join yourself to that church. Help me to what? That's where I want you to go, right down there. Well, she went down there and she stayed for about a month or two, and God said, when the pastor opened the doors of the church, I want you to join this church. You don't meet right here. I don't even know who these people are. And you know what? Mom will do, or grandma, what? There ain't nobody said hello. Ain't nobody welcomed me. Every dress I've got is made out of burlap, tater sacks, and I ain't got anything to wear. This crowd's too big for me. He said, this is where I want you to be. She went down front and the preacher looked at her and said, I don't even know your name. She told him, are you saved? Well, glory, hallelujah. She started shouting and praising the Lord, and half the people was shocked. They thought, shout in the church. Oh, Lord, this is the rapture. And I want to tell you what, she shouted. And the next thing I knew, it started to catch some of them people on the front row. And finally, they got a hold of it. Remember, this is what Grandma and Grandpa used to do. And it feels good to cut loose and praise His name and bless Him the way He needs to be blessed.
Amen.
She stayed there at that church and started planting flowers around it. Amen. That church started saying, I'm telling you what, this has become a new church since Sister So-and-so got here. Look at the beauty outside all the flowers that she's put in. Look at what she's done in all the gardens she set up. You know what? It wasn't the gardens and it wasn't the flowers that made the difference. It was love, amen. She just loved them all, and she wasn't too poor for them, and they wasn't too rich for her. We need to get past ourselves and our discriminations. Jesus accepts them all. We need to learn to. Amen? How am I doing so far? Amen. Well, I want to say, next of all, primarily, why have they come? The Bible says, primarily, they came to hear Him, according to verse 17. The greatest need anyone will ever have is to hear from Jesus. In fact, that's why I come today. I want to hear from heaven. These people, no matter how educated or uneducated, poor or rich, they need to hear the truth from Jesus Himself. In fact, according to the Gospels, that Jesus' purpose in the ministry was to put truth into the hearts of men, to preach it and proclaim it, that they would believe it and that they would accept it. Let me say this morning. Physical healing, miracle performances, casting out demons, all those things are wonderful, but not one of them will save you. My daddy was sick to death a few years ago in the hospital. God did a miracle in his life and healed him. I'll never forget that he raised up off that bed, and boy, how we were so thankful. Now, boy, he corrected us pretty quick and he said, you know what, if this sickness didn't get me, another one will. He said, this is a miracle. Truly it is. It's a physical miracle. But it didn't save me. And the real permanent miracle is that Jesus forgave me by the shed blood of Calvary's flow. And there ain't no cancer, hallelujah, there ain't no car wreck or no heart attack can ever take away from me what Jesus has done when He saved my soul. You may say, well, physical healings, they're wonderful. Thank God for them.
but there's not one of them can save you. It's about truth, y'all, and believing the truth of the Word of God. Jesus made this statement in John chapter 8. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free from what? Free from the bondage of sin. Free from the slavery and oppression of the misery and the sin in which we live. Make us free to help us to know we're lost. And all of us, no matter what your good works is, no matter what your religion is, your associations, no matter who your parents is or how much money you've got, the only way you can be saved, the truth is through Jesus Christ. And He came to proclaim that to you. And all these people have come to hear Him. I wonder what He preached that day. But on the snapshot, we don't know. It's not a video, it's a snapshot. One of these days in glory, we might find out. But we don't know what He preached. But boy, they sure did come. Amen. His preaching was concise. His preaching was clear. His preaching was captivating. They were standing there, couldn't wait to hear what was going to come out of His mouth next. His preaching was convicting. And His preaching was converting. I want to tell you what, the only way you'll get saved is not by a physical miracle of some healing. The only way you'll get saved is by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost and the converting power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's the miracle that takes place. Well, all those who accepted His truth that day got saved. My Bible says they came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. Not only did they come to hear Him, but they came to be healed of Him. People who were troubled in mind, they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch Him. What about that? People that were troubled in body and in mind. People that were diseased. People that had devils. They came to Him and Jesus is healing them all. Why? The Bible says, "For there went virtue out of Him and healed them all." Virtue. I looked that word up. What is virtue? According to the King James Bible. As I begin to study it in the Greek text, it is the word dunamis. Dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. Dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. Boom! They went up to Jesus. And virtue, I mean power, strength, healing, fullness, grace, just running out of Him. The Bible said virtue went out of Him. What? Went virtue out of Him, and then said He healed them all. The virtue out of Him healed them all. When they touched Him, they received power. When they touched Him, they received grace. Listen, let me say something to y'all. Don't be narrow-minded enough to think that everybody in that crowd is a cripple or everybody's a leper. There's some people there that's just as physically healthy as you and me are this morning. And they're in that crowd. And my Bible said that they all were seeking to touch Jesus, and He healed them all. I swallowed real hard, started studying that. That the cripple touched Him. Boom! He was made whole. The blind man walked up, laid hands. Boom! He could see. You ain't getting it, are you? The deaf man went up, wanting to hear His teaching that day. And he saw others was making a difference in their life. So by faith he touched Him and boom, he could hear. Then there's some lady there. Her grandyoung is sick. She's troubled to death. She knows what she's going to do. She's seen all these other people being physically whole. So she walked up by faith and she said, "Lord, I want You to take away my worry from a child." And boom, she went to glory. Hallelujah, it's going to be all right. He's going to take care of it. And then there's others who come in, said, "You know what? I want to understand more about the Word. And I need a little more strength. I've been kind of weak lately. My faith's been down. You know what I mean?" Been some. You may be physically healthy, but you certainly could use the fullness of grace.
Amen.
They just went up to Him and went, and boom, they got touched and were made whole. Virtue went out of Him. Power, strength, the fullness of grace went out of Him as He stood there preaching to them. And the Bible says that He healed them all. All they had to do was, glory to God, are you not getting this? All they had to do
was by faith, humble themselves and say, I can't make it on my own. Just somehow walk up to Him and humble themselves and touch Him. We said this morning, He's touched us when He saved us.
Amen.
Lifted us out of the miry, miry clay, out of that horrible pit.
Right.
And set our feet on a solid rock and established our goings. Some of you He's took from the mire and He's put you in the choir.
Amen.
But you know what this morning? And there's also the ability that while He's passing by, and not only is He passing by, my Bible says He stood. He stood for the snapshot. He stood with His disciples. I believe they touched Him. Lord, I want to preach one day. Boom! Lord, I want to get over my faith problem. Boom! And they started shouting her out. Immediately, I don't think they're swaying the Spirit and falling down on the ground. They didn't have no tag team to get them up, set them back on their feet. Oh no. I think they just got what they're looking for. And every person that came by one, they was touching Him. And they got what they're looking for. Hey, can I remind you this morning that He can still be touched today? He passed us through Bethel, and I wonder if He don't just step up here this morning and just say, I'm going to stand here. And as many as know to be made whole. Healing physically, that's great. But there's some spiritual things. I doubt a lot. I have trouble with forgiveness. I harbor grudges. I fall easily into sin. I am so easily deceived. God, would You help me? And you come up and humble yourself and touch Him. Boom! And He makes you better. And the old things are passed away. Like somebody in this crowd today, you're lost. You're going to hell. All you need to come is come to the altar and call on Jesus. He'd save you this morning. Might be. I wonder as He poses for the snapshot amongst this crowd. I'm telling you what, there was over 5,000 people that wasn't ashamed to be seen with Jesus. And there's about 200, 300 people here this morning. And I wonder if we'd all move. I wonder if there'd be people in this audience who say, yes, I've got to get to Jesus. Boy, He's got things I need Him to do for me. You hear what I'm going to tell you this morning? If I would have had a healing service, they'd have been lined up out the door. But you stand here and preach truth, and there's room on some of these pews. But all you need to do, amen, when we preach truth, is come to Jesus.
Amen.
He said, where there's two or three gathered in My name, there am I in the midst. He stands in the middle of Bethel Baptist Church, just Jesus and His people. And He says, come whosoever will, and watch what He'll do for you.
Amen.
You stand to your feet this morning, someone come play. I want to face somebody here and say, you know what? I just want to be seen with Jesus. He's going to take a snapshot today. I want to be seen with Him. I'm not ashamed of Him. I want to be with Him today. I wonder in this altar this morning already, are you standing out in your pew today? Who is that 100th one that needs to be saved? You're here this morning and He's working in your life. You don't have to die and go to hell. You just come to Jesus. He'll make the difference. When you come this morning, I want you to lift up your hand and say, preacher, I want you to take off your microphone. I want you to meet me in the altar. I need to talk to you. I want to be saved this morning. I want to be saved. Anybody here in this building? Come on right now. Just raise your hand. Slip down the altar. We'll pray with you this morning. God will save you today. You wouldn't have to go to hell. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Would you come? Would you come? Hey, folks in this altar today said, boy, I've got concern for the family. Why, some of you say, well, preacher, this is the craziest thing I ever heard of. Well, you go ask that crowd. They'll testify. We just touched Jesus, and He made all the difference. And there was none of us too good or none of us too holy to say, we don't need to touch Him. We don't need that today. Boy, it took a lot of faith for them to humble themselves and to come where Jesus was. Same thing for you. It won't be easy. You got to let go and let God. Would you come this morning? Would you come? Our Father and our God, we thank You this morning. God, when we look around the church, they're coming from the north and the south, the east and the west. And God, they're coming down here about this altar to touch Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, there's many of them that's got all kind of problems in their life. God, there's some, Father, that they're even having to search right now to have a problem. But God, they know that just in that they have a pride problem. And they've come and said, Lord, God, I don't need You to humble me and to teach me how much I need You. I just want to come up there and be with Jesus. I want Him to touch me and help me to understand His Word. Help me to be faithful to His house. Give me power to be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Deepen my call. Deepen my convictions. Raise my standards, Lord. Help me, God, I pray, not to be so discriminatory, but help me, God, just to worry about me and be concerned about me and judge myself. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that You'd work in the midst. God, there's some that just come to hear. And Lord, there's some this morning, God, it's come this morning to be healed. Lord, they need Your touch. God, they fell around this place. And God, they said, Lord, we've waited on Your touch and we've waited on Your touch and the touch has not come. But this morning You told them that it was possible that they could come and touch You. And God, this morning they reached up by faith. And God, they reached out by faith. God, I pray they just touch the board of Your garment. And God, You'd make them whole. You'd heal their sicknesses, God. You'd help them, Father, with their families. Lord, You know what's needful. God, it's just You and Your people. Just Him and them. God, I pray You'd meet with us this morning. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing. God, I appreciate every family, every home, every individual life You're working in this morning. Thank You for that. Appreciate their faith. Thank You, God, for her humility. Now, God, they've come in faith. God, would You bless them? God, would You give? God, would You answer? Would You do for them what no other could do? For, Lord, we've come to bow humbly in the name of Jesus. And for His sake, we pray and ask, amen and amen. The devil says, that stuff don't work. God's people says, yes, it does too. I know it does. I've had it done before. Amen this morning. Amen. I wonder, a bunch of people got saved this last week. Y'all be seated just real quick. I wonder, is there somebody this morning say, preacher, I want to be baptized. We're going to open doors of the church. Might be somebody say, preacher, I want to join this morning. God dealt with me about it. And I just want to be obedient to His voice. Will you come? Some of you young people that's here today, you got saved this week. You'd like to be, we're not going to baptize you right now. But sometime in the future, we'll schedule a baptism. Is anybody this morning you feel led, would you come? This morning, just come stand right with me. Right here. You won't matter.